This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
A good evening to you, a Tuesday night edition of the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Have you for a full 2 hours tonight, kind of have you for 3 hours because the Gas House game tonight at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. That's going to feature myself and Kevin Wheeler. But we are live with you for a Graybar Sports Open Line until 8 o'clock this evening. As always, if you want to chime in on the program, there's an opportunity for you to do so. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or you can leave a voice message if you are listening via the Odyssey app. You can see right on there where there's a little microphone icon. You click on that, you leave a voice message, and it comes to us. And that's how you can get in contact with the program. Bluntly, we have not had a lot of two-hour full, all live, like everything programs in quite some time. So sometimes I hear from folks that get frustrated because they want to be able to call in, chime in, talk through some things. And on some days, we just don't have a whole lot of time. Like yesterday, a one-hour program, and we had an interview in there, and then we wanted to get our daily audio from Oliver Marmol in there, so that just didn't leave a whole lot of time. But we've got some time today. So coming up later on this hour, maybe a little bit next hour as well, we'll give you the opportunity to call in. If you want to talk through any Cardinals-related items, we'll give you the opportunity to do just that coming up later on in the show. So if you've been holding something in that you wanted to share, you're going to have that opportunity. Will Leach is going to join us in less than 10 minutes as he's part of the Seeing Red podcast with Bernie Miklas, longtime writer, both sports and also does a lot of non-sports stuff as well. He's a book writer, does lots of stuff. We've had him on the program before. Always a great guy to be able to talk Cardinals baseball with. So Will Leach is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. And then next hour at about 7:20, our friend Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4, First Alert 4, he is going to join us and we'll talk really all things St. Louis sports, Cardinals, Blues, City, the various colleges, SLU basketball. They're opening up their run in the conference tournament, as is Mizzou and Illinois. Obviously, yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about SIUE winning the OVC and what that's going to mean for them moving forward. So there's a lot of this is a great time in the sports calendar when you think of everything that's going on College basketball postseason coming up on the NCAA tournament is awesome. We are wrapping up spring training. Some of these big storylines are starting to really round into shape, and that's a whole lot of fun to be able to talk about. And then hockey, obviously, not too far off from the postseason, and where we're at right now with City SC opening up a new season and coming off what was their best performance of the year this past weekend. So a lot of things to discuss. Cardinals lose today to Miami by a 12-5 score. And this is one of those games where you look at the box score and you try to figure out what's real and what's not real. And Eric Fetty did not have a good line today. 4 innings, 6 runs, 7 hits. He gave up 3 home runs. That was the big thing for him. When it comes to starting pitchers still fairly early on in their spring, I think you look at the work that they're doing and seeing what they're trying to accomplish. Sometimes they're trying to, you know, perfect a different pitch or something like that. So it's really hard to completely and totally discern how much of that is just him struggling today and how much of that is him going out and working on some things, and the things that he's working on just did not completely work out. And Oliver Marmol has mentioned it over the last couple days. We are now at the point in spring where you do spend a little bit more time and you give a little bit more credibility to the results that you are seeing. And I think those are the results that you see in Grapefruit League play, but they're also some of the results that are going on in the backfields earlier in the day. It's not just the box score that's available to everybody. I think that's something that's good to remind folks that there's a lot more going on than just the games at spring training, and there's a lot more data and information that teams use to evaluate players than just what happens in the games. But I don't say that to completely dismiss what's happening in games. I just say that to mention that there's a lot of information that is being used at any given moment. I had an exchange with somebody on social media today. They commented on our Gas House Gang video on Facebook asking about Nolan Gorman. And they said, if Nolan Gorman struggles all of spring, do they need to be looking at where they're at with him? And my response to him was that it was a flawed question. There was this inference that Nolan Gorman has struggled all of spring. And that is simply not the case. If you if you're not completely paying attention to what's going on, yeah, Gorman had a slow start to spring. He did. He did not have a hit in his first 5 games of spring. Coming off an offseason where he got with Brant Brown and he tried to make a lot of changes and a lot of tweaks and really redo a lot of things, I don't think anybody was shocked by the fact that Nolan Gorman would have a slow start to spring. Well, what has he done in his last 6 games? And I don't say this to say it really means much of anything, but it's certainly more relevant than his first 5 games of spring. Nolan Gorman in his last 6 games is hitting .350 with a .950 OPS, which is darn good. That doesn't mean he's going to take that into the regular season. That doesn't mean it's going to continue on. Everything that happens in spring, you take with a grain of salt. But it is worth noting that sometimes things are happening and they're meaningful. Sometimes things are happening and they're not meaningful. Sometimes things are happening and they're meaningful or not meaningful, but we don't know until way down the line when all of a sudden we can look at something and there's an issue that exists and we can say, well, we should have known. Look at what happened in spring, but there's just as many of those things that might be an issue in spring that just kind of work themselves out once you start playing games in the regular season. So I'm not smart enough to discern all these things on what's real, what's not real, what you need to worry about, what you need to not worry about. I lean towards not being worried about Eric Fetty's performance today. That's my leaning. I think he's just working on some things. At the same time, you would like Fetty and everybody else, for that matter, to have a little bit of momentum going into the regular season. And that was Fetty's 4th start of spring training play. To put that in perspective, that's how many starts he had in spring training with the White Sox last season. That's more than what he's had in a good number of springs. So, yeah, take that for what it is. All right, we are going to be joined coming up in just a moment by Will Leach, part of the Seeing Red podcast with Bernie Mikulas, does a lot of other things as well. He joins us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back out on KMOX is Graybar Sports Open Line. We will indeed open those lines coming up later on this hour at 314-436-7900. That's how you can call. That's how you can text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We'll do that after our conversation with Will Leach. Will Leach, you can read him all over the place, including MLB.com, does some non-sports stuff in a few different places, including New York Magazine. He is part of the Scene Red podcast. He does that with Bernie Miklas. He's on Twitter at William F. Leach. So as I mentioned, you can find him just about everywhere. Right now, you can find him on KMOX as he joins us on the program. Will, always appreciate you taking a little bit of time with us. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It is gorgeous in Georgia where I am right now. I'm about to go to the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. This is other than October, this might be my favorite sports month. So I'm feeling pretty excited right now.
Are you going to root on the Illini?
Oh, yes. I will be with my son and my father. It's our yearly trip every year. We're relieved they didn't play the first game on Thursday. Originally, if they lost their last game, there's nothing worse than getting excited for a long tournament, having your team lose and have to watch everybody else for 3 days. So at the very least, we're going to get a couple days. I think the Illini are on a hot streak right now. We're pretty excited.
It's been an interesting year for them because they were really, really good. And then they went into a lull. And like you said, they come into the tournament on a three-game winning streak, playing some pretty good basketball. They've beat two ranked teams coming in.
It's been pretty wild to see actually the fluctuations of both Illinois and Missouri actually throughout the season, where they've kind of met in the middle and then one team's ascended ahead, one team's fallen below. I think Illinois's got a lot of high ceiling talent, but that comes with a lot of volatility. And so I think that they're either going to fly to the Elite Eight or lose to UC San Diego or someone in the first round of the tournament. And to me, that's the beauty of the tournament. I mean, it's not the beauty when Illinois is in that spot, but I think it's fun. That's why the tournament's so great. All it takes is one day where you can shoot three-pointers or one day where you can. It may decide everything.
Yeah, like locally, SIUE makes it into the tournament, and every single person who's a fan of that team is sitting here thinking, hey, what if something special really happens here?
And it does. You know, one of the beauties of the tournament for me is, you know, this is a national event. All eyes in all of America are on this event. And your small town in Louisiana, or your small town in North Carolina, or Edwardsville, in a lot of ways, can become the centerpiece of the sports world for that afternoon. Yeah. Fairleigh Dickinson was the biggest story in all of sports in the middle of spring training and NBA and NFL spring and trade deadline, all that stuff. To me, that's pretty exciting. And so, yeah, I love. I always feel like the most democratic sport is college basketball, and when it comes to the tournament, because anyone can come from anywhere, and as long as you keep winning, you get to keep playing, and that to me is a beautiful thing.
I was giving all your things that you do. I forgot to mention, and I shouldn't. It's the most Cardinals related thing you do, the Seeing Red podcast with our guy Bernie Miklas, and make sure to check that out. So when spring training got started, I think most people had a somewhat negative and different view towards what the Cardinals were going to be. Some people have gotten a little bit more optimistic as spring has gone along. That's what spring training's about. It's about giving you hope. Where do you sit right now on the prospects of this team not being great, but being good enough to contend for a playoff spot?
You know, I think the general stasis that we've seen in the National League Central would give any team hope. It's giving the Pirates hope, yeah. And I don't think they're as good as the Cardinals are. So I think that I think there's a reason to feel like you don't need to be a vintage, high-quality Cardinals team and be able to compete in the NL Central this year. I would say that's actually partly a result of the Cubs not being nearly as aggressive as they probably should have been. And you think once they traded for Kyle Tucker, they would be all in on this. They only have him for 1 year, but that's not seemed to be what happened. And I think you're already seeing some issues popping up with the Cubs that could affect their depth. And so I think there's an opportunity for anyone in the NL Central, and I think that includes the Cardinals. You know, to me, the major issue I think that you see, I think we all see it with the Cardinals, is this weird kind of liminal space where we can't tell, okay, so are they competing right now? Are they trying to make this happen in 2025, or are they committed to 2026 and afterwards? And I think you see that in the results of what they're going to do with Victor Scott, or how they're going to figure out center field, what they're going to do with the rotation, some of the guys in their 30s that are in the rotation, whereas someone like a McGreevy or a Pallante or even a Liberatore would not be in the rotation. It's a very strange kind of thing. I'm not sure. Like, on one hand, I feel like, okay, if you're going to try to compete, you should give some of the veteran guys and try out Newt Barr in center field and try to win right now. But then it feels like everything else that we've heard from the offseason has been this reset for the future, in which case, okay, Victor Scott should be in center field and Michael McGreevy should be in the rotation. I think it's the weird, it's an almost unusual, even confusing kind of place. Not so much a negative one. It doesn't really make you angry or anything or elated. It's just kind of confusing because the Cardinals still feel like they kind of have one foot in and one foot out in a way that I think I was hoping spring would clear up a little bit more of that, but I'm not sure we've necessarily seen that yet.
No, I think all it's cleared up is that's going to be how it's going to be, at least for the foreseeable yeah. future. And yeah, you know, Oliver Marmol spoke yesterday and he was asked a line of questioning that goes kind of down that point, and basically was said, if you've got an opportunity where you make one decision that is going to give you the best chance to win the game and another decision where it's maybe an opportunity to get somebody, put somebody in a situation where you feel like that's going to benefit them down the road, which one do you go with? And to paraphrase Ollie, he basically was like, well, sometimes it's going to be one and sometimes it's going to be the other. So, I mean, clearly there's not this clear path that they're going to be on. And as somebody will who hosts the postgame show, that's going to be challenging because some nights these decisions are going to be made looking like one goal is in place. And other nights decisions are going to be made where it looks like there's a whole different goal for this team.
Yeah, and I think that's a strange place for a fan, and frankly, in your position, a post-game caller, to kind of be in, right? The idea of like, wait, so were we trying to win this game tonight, or were we worried about 2026 and 2027? Because I feel like the money I paid for this game actually is the same amount either way. And I think that's what a lot of Cardinal fans are kind of wondering. But I wonder if you'll see that with some early crowds, and not so much like, I think the last couple of years, I think when we've seen some smaller attendance at Cardinals games, they've been like clear statements. The direction of this franchise is not what we want. This is not the Cardinals that we have gotten used to. And I think you've seen the Cardinals with some of the move they made with Heimblum coming in, this being Mozeliak's last year. I think that you're seeing some response to that. I wonder if we see smaller crowds this early on this year, it's less about anger and more about this sort of confusion that we're talking about. Now, the upside to that is if the Cardinals get off, if they start well, I think that will change the equation, not just for the fans, but frankly, the team. If the Cardinals can get off to a good start, I wonder if that pendulum swings more for Marmol's decision than even potentially Mozeliak and down the line even Bloom's decision. At a certain level, while you want to give guys runway, as they keep saying, for this season, I feel like no one's going to run away from the NL Central either way. If the Cardinals can keep their head above water, at a certain level, the long term, you know, what's the old term? In the long term, we're all dead. Mm-hmm. In the short term, if the Cardinals are competing, it feels like you should take advantage of that opportunity. Now, what I will be really curious to see is if these things are able to merge. If it turns out that, you know what, the best way for the Cardinals to win right now is Victor Scott in center field, or the best way for the Cardinals to win right now is to have Pallante or McGreevy or Liberatore in the rotation. That is what you want. Like, they, certain things, it's clear, right? Jordan Walker's going to be in the lineup every day. You're going to try to give Nolan Gorman a lot. You want to see you want to see more of some of these guys that they, like, to me, Jordan Walker's the perfect example. Like, that's where those things merge. You want, he needs to give you the best chance to win now, and you see what you have with him in the future. It's those other guys that are in the middle. That the ideal way for this season to play out is to see guys like Victor Scott be the best way for this team to win now, when he's clearly such a big part of their future.
100% agree. And I feel like they've got to get to that point, whether it's this year or next year. At some point, that's got to be their best pathway. Across Major League Baseball, we're continuing to see pitching going down, especially in both the Yankees and Mets are just getting killed in terms of their starting pitchers going down. Do you feel like there's an opportunity here, whether it is an Eric Fetty or a Steven Matz, that maybe before spring training comes to an end, the Cardinals do pull off a trade, and then all of a sudden they create that space in the rotation for Michael McGreevy, maybe even for Matthew Liberatore?
Maybe, and I think certainly you'll see that opportunity, but, you know, I think we've reached the point now, and I don't know if the Cardinals would necessarily agree with me, but the payroll's pretty low now. Like, I feel like certainly they wanted to try to trade Arenado, and they weren't able to do that, and I think that door mostly seems the Yankees don't need a third, baseman now, they need pitching, so I don't know if that door's been cracked open anymore, but at a certain level, like, if they're, I'll put it this way, if the Cardinals are going to trade someone like Fetty, who frankly is their number two starter right now, and when you're looking at someone like Michaelis, who's been struggling, or Matz, who looks like he's going to be injured, has a lot of injury history, has not looked terrific so far anyway, and Pallante, frankly, his velocity has been down this year. The thing that worries me about the Cardinals this year is actually not the young players. It's actually the pitching just running out of people. And I think that, yeah, if you're hoping the Cardinals are, like, what kept the Cardinals above 500 last year? What, because I think it's almost been forgotten with the frustration that the Cardinals were over 500 last year. They finished tied for second place last year. I think that has gotten lost a little bit. And the reason they did that was because of their bullpen. And like, having those kind of stable starters, listen, Gibson was not incredible last year. Lynn was not incredible last year. But those guys were able to get you to the strength of the team, and the reason they finished 500 versus their bullpen. The worry I have about this team, I understand trading Fetty, and I understand they're trying to get stuff down, but you better get something good for Fetty other than just a little payroll relief. I think if now Arenado is different in that regard. If you were able to get payroll relief, I think you can make the argument there. I find it hard to, for a fan base that is already a little bit in this kind of odd space, to say, no. We'll go ahead and trade who is pretty clearly the number two starter right now for payroll relief rather than actually getting something that's going to be able to help you in the future. That's where it's hard, because we're all kind of in this one foot in, one foot out, half measure sort of situation. Are we trying to compete now? Are they trying to compete down the line? The one thing that everyone is not going to get excited about is a little bit of payroll relief for this year. Now, if you're going to trade someone like Fetty, you're going to trade someone like Matz. Matz, I think, is a little more on the payroll side, but certainly you'd like to get something back that's going to help you. I hope if they do something like that, they're taking advantage of that market to help the team down the line rather than just reduce payroll. Because I think the patience for the reduced payroll thing, particularly as frankly as low as it's gotten, I don't think fans have a lot of patience for that right now. It's hard to cheer for payroll reducing. You can cheer for a future player to come in. It's hard to get excited about payroll reducing, even if it theoretically could help in the short term.
Yeah, I don't care about the payroll at all, but I do care about Michael McGreevy and Andre Pallante having spots in the rotation. So that would be, you're right. They can't just trade Eric Fetty just to trade him just because they want payroll relief. You have to get something legitimate back for him. But if that's something that plays out a few years from now, and the right now benefit is Michael McGreevy ends up in the rotation, I think a lot of fans could deal with that.
Yes, but I think the problem is Miles Michaelis is still in the rotation at that point. I think that's the concern. I think what's frustrating now is, like, to me, the answer to this situation is, like, if this is the thing you're trying to get set up in the long term, to find out what you have in McGreevy, whether Liberatore's a starter, what you have in Pallante, put him in the rotation. You hear a lot about Miles Michaelis. Well, he gives you a lot of innings, and he did. He led the Cardinals in innings last year at a 5.35 ERA. And I think that a lot of those innings came, frankly, after very difficult first innings that he just kind of gutted out the rest of the game there. If you're like, you're not going to get payroll relief on Miles Michaelis, but at a certain level, if he's not giving you the innings that he's there ostensibly to give you, that's your spot. That's your spot to do it. The idea of if you're trying to keep one foot in, one foot out, getting rid of a pitcher like Fetty, who is certainly a better pitcher right now than Michaelis is, and it can also give you innings much of a much higher quality. If you're looking to clear a spot for those guys, that's where it is. Now, I think we've seen from the Cardinals being very hesitant to do that, and I think certainly taking Michaelis out of the rotation and making him a long reliever is the path of most resistance. That's hard to do, right? That causes a lot of other issues. It causes this in the clubhouse, could cause this in the clubhouse. You don't have a lot of options on Michaelis. It's hard to get him back in after that happens. But if that's what they're trying to do, it's frustrating for me to say, oh, well, they've got to make a trade to get McGreevy and Plante both in the rotation, when a very clearly struggling, even this spring, Miles Michaelis is sitting right there. That's a frustrating deal to kind of make in there.
You and Mike Petriello did your 1 through 30 draft of World Series contenders. You put the Cardinals at number 22, and they were behind every NL Central team except for the Pirates. Did that pain you a little bit when you had to write that?
It's funny. We're doing our first power rankings next week, and I'm seeing the votes come in, and I'm seeing the Cardinals often, like, I think they may end up below the Pirates in the power rankings. For what it's worth, I don't think that's right. I actually feel like if you're doing a draft of World Series teams, 22 is actually not a bad spot to get the Cardinals. I think if they were in the AL East or the NL East, I might not feel that way. But in the NL Central, I don't see a huge gap between the Cardinals having an upside season and anyone else in that division. I think the team with the highest ceiling that you could, like, if you're looking for a growth team, I think it's probably the Reds. I think the Reds have a lot of young talent that could emerge. I think Francona is like maybe the perfect manager for that team. But like, if everyone is just all in that middle, I don't see why the Cardinals are that dramatically worse than the Brewers, the Cubs, or the Reds in that situation. I do think the Pirates, they're really missing an opportunity right now. They have all of these good young pitchers at very low rates, but they did not spend to supplement them, and I think they will end up suffering because of that. Cardinals at 22, I got the Cardinals to the 22nd pick in that draft of every team for the World Series. I feel like that's actually a pretty good value pick in that regard. I'm not saying the Cardinals are going to win the World Series, but as a potential playoff spot, I think the Cardinals have as good a chance to really, and we'll see, maybe not. Maybe they end up trading Fetty and then get rid of Arenado and figure out a way, and suddenly this team looks a lot worse than I think potentially it could be right now. But the way the rosters are put up right now at 22, I can see the Cardinals as much as I can see the Cubs or the Brewers or the Reds getting out of the division.
Final thing for Will Leach. You've got an upcoming book coming out, Lloyd McNeil's Last Ride. It is available for pre-order right now. Before we just give a plug for it, to tell folks about this book and what they can expect and why they should go pre-order it.
Yeah, we just got a very nice blurb from Richard Russo, the Pulitzer Prize winner for fiction, who wrote Empire Falls and Nobody's Fool, the great Paul Newman movie that came out. And it's about a police officer named Lloyd McNeil who discovers that he is dying of a brain tumor and has 3 months to live. He learns from his police insurance that his son, his 13-year-old son, will actually get 30 times more money if he dies in the line of duty rather than of his brain tumor. So he keeps throwing himself into insane, dangerous situations, keeps failing and staying alive, and is seen as like a civic hero. And that's like the idea of the book. So hopefully it's sad but funny, and it's kind of hopefully that's a clever concept, the idea of a guy that wants to provide for his son and wants to do the right thing, but at the end of his life becomes this incredible hero, kind of accidentally, in a way that hopefully will move people and people will like it.
He is Will Leach. You can read him all over the place. If you go to his Twitter account, you can see the link to pre-order Lloyd McNeil's Last Ride. Will, we always appreciate your time. I'm sure we'll talk to you again real soon.
Of course, my pleasure. Take care, sir.
That's Will Leach joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines from here until the end of the hour. I guess this is my question for you. As spring training has moved along, have you gotten more optimistic or less optimistic about the Cardinals' chances of being, and this is where I want to set the bar. Let's set the bar at being a team that can be legitimately in contention for a playoff spot, whether that's winning the division or getting a wild card spot. I think there's easily a scenario that plays out that there's enough really high level teams in the NL East and NL West that the wild card might be out of the realm of possibility, but they may still be in contention for the division. So are you more or less optimistic about where the Cardinals are right now based off what you've seen, heard, monitored here during spring training so far? Phone calls, text messages, tweets, voicemails. Call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Leave a voice message on the Odyssey app. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on KMOX, a Graybar Sports Open Line, a full two-hour program. We just have not had a lot of these here recently. Glad to be able to be with you all the way till the end. We're going to hear from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. We'll play some of his comments that he had earlier today. We'll do that around 7:35. Jacob Sersosimo, our friend from First Alert 4, he is set to join us at about 7:20 or so. So we've got a lot to get to between now and the end of the program. Have an opportunity for you. If you want to chime in on the Cardinals, we welcome your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and also your voice messages. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air, like I mentioned, the voicemail on the Odyssey app. And we've got the phone lines open right now if you want to chime in. And really, the thing that there's 2 weeks left in spring training, essentially. Opening day is 2 weeks from Thursday. And I kind of take an internal inventory of where I was at on this team before spring training started and where I'm at on this team right now. And I don't think a lot has changed, to be honest with you. I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're a World Series winning team. I don't think they're a deep playoff team. But the thing that keeps confusing me is the exceedingly low expectations that have been placed upon this team from an external standpoint. Because, you know, we were just talking about this with Will Leach a few moments ago. They did, he and Mike Petriello did their World Series draft where they went back and forth picking teams on who they thought had the best possibility of winning the World Series, and Cardinals got picked at number 22. He alluded to the first power rankings at MLB.com that are going to be coming out next week, and the Pirates might be ahead of the Cardinals. The Cardinals might be the lowest power-ranked team in the NL Central. Now, that doesn't mean anything. Power, you don't make it to the playoffs because MLB.com says you're power ranked number one, right? Like, that's not how it works. But part of what we do is we do look at what the expectations are from the outside and try to figure out what's leading to that. And here's where I don't get it. And if you want to correct me, feel free. Again, phone number, text message, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. In many ways, this Cardinals team on paper looks not quite identical, but very similar to who they were last year. And who they were last year was a second-place club with a winning record. That's not great. That's nobody goes into the season over at Busch Stadium says the goal is second place. The goal is to be above 500. Like that's not a stated goal. The goal is to win divisions. The goal is to get into the playoffs. The goal is to go through deep playoff runs. The goal is to get to the NLCS. The goal is to get to the World Series. Those are the goals. They did not reach that goal last year. I'm not trying to run away from the lack of success that they had last year. But they were a second-place club with a winning record. So now you look around the division. Cincinnati scares me. Cincinnati really scares me because they've got some really young, really exciting players that if it kind of comes together for them at the beginning of the season and they got a legit dude managing them now and Terry Francona, like if there's going to be a surprise team out of the NL Central this year that just surges ahead early, it might be the Cincinnati Reds. They're the only no disrespect meant to the Milwaukee Brewers or the Chicago Cubs, who on paper may look better than the Cardinals. No disrespect meant to either of those teams. But honestly, the team that scares me, who I think has that potential of just kind of going off with a lot of wins, is the Cincinnati Reds. They kind of, like the Cardinals, have a lot of players on the roster who you look at what their ceilings are and you say, those are legit dudes. Those are guys that can turn into really, really good players. And the Cardinals have that with Jordan Walker and with Nolan Gorman. They have that. They've got guys that were projected to be middle of the order run producers who have yet to get to that point. So the roster for the Cardinals is largely the same as last year. And last year they had a winning record and they had a second place finish in the NL Central and they spent much of the year in playoff contention, if not a playoff spot. And now all of a sudden, all these outside sources are sitting here saying, yeah, they're not going to be very good. They're going to be the worst team in the division. And I just don't get it because the Cardinals, again, winning record last year, and they've got guys on the roster who could potentially take that big step forward. I don't see that with Chicago. I don't see that with Milwaukee. I don't think there's a bunch of guys on those rosters that are ready to take big steps forward. I do think so with Cincinnati. And then bluntly, I just kind of throw Pittsburgh out. I don't think they did enough. They've got the best starting pitching in the division easily, but they did not do enough to make themselves into a real contender in this division, I don't think. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a minute or so left here in hour number one of the program. Hour number two, Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4 is going to join us. We'll also get some comments from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, go through a few of the narratives that were spoken about today. Do want to mention the KMOX First Pitch Breakfast. It's going to be taking place on opening day, Thursday, March 27th. This is really, really cool. It is a ticketed experience, so you do have to get yourself a ticket. You're going to get a breakfast buffet, bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys, a complimentary Budweiser draft beer, a commemorative glass for this first annual event, and you are going to be able to sit in and enjoy an exclusive conversation between St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Famer Vince Coleman and our sports director here at KMOX, Tom Ackerman. It's going to be really, really cool. There's going to be giveaways. There's going to be all kinds of other stuff. The menu looks amazing. Food service from 8 in the morning until 10 in the morning. If you want to get yourself your tickets, just head to KMOX.com/events. That's KMOX.com/events, and you can see all the details right there. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. More after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.